This is PodTech.net. I'm Michael Johnson. Monday, August 7th marks the beginning of the 2006 Apple Worldwide Developers Conference. Developers from around the world will be convening in San Francisco to explore and create the future of Mac OS X technology. We'll be reporting live from the conference on Monday morning with podcasts starting at 10 a.m. and special coverage of Steve Jobs' entire keynote address. That's right here at podtech.net. So, what do you do to prepare for the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference? Freelance writer John Martellaro is the person behind Mac Observer's Hidden Dimensions series, and he's been to the last 13 WWDCs and shares some survival tips as well as sage advice for conference attendees. Well, John Martellaro, welcome to the podcast here on podtech.net.
Nice to be here.
So, upcoming, we have the Worldwide Developers Conference, pretty big event in Apple circles. Can you tell us a little bit about what goes on?
Sure. It's good to keep in mind that Apple was probably getting a little bit strained with doing Macworld New York in July and WWDC in May. And so they've made WWDC sort of the premier summer event, which they can control and which is local. Makes it easier for people to get back and forth from Cupertino to San Francisco. People think of WWDC generally as a very technical event for Apple developers, but over the years, it's really gone through a transformation. It's not just for the Quark and the Microsoft and the Adobe developer teams anymore. In some ways, it's turned into an IT support event. Companies are understanding the advantages of Mac OS X, its security, and its Unix underpinnings, and so it's being moved into the forefront as a business tool. And, of course, then you have to know things about administering a Unix operating system, about security protocols, how to use Apple Remote Desktop to push out applications and do updates, and how to manage client computers through, say, Mac OS X server. So, in that sense, it's turned into an IT support event. And as I mentioned in the article, I've seen a show of hands where people are managing well over 1,000 Macintoshes. And, of course, they have to be able to understand all the automated tools that allow them to manage client machines. It's also turning into a bit of a science event, too, in that for the first time this year, there are going to be science posters. Posters are poster boards that scientists use to briefly display some research. You can stand in front of it, kind of get a feel for what the problem was, what the approach was, and some important answers all on one piece of cardboard, maybe 3 feet by 4 feet. So Apple's going to do that this year. Scientists have been getting very excited about Mac OS X as it has evolved. And there'll be a science lounge on the third floor of Moscone West. And it's a good opportunity for people who are doing research to get together. There's also a site that Apple's peripherally involved in called macresearch.org, where scientists can communicate. It's sort of a watering hole for scientists who are using Mac OS X for research. So those are two elements to WWDC. And then I think the third important element is this is one place where, unlike Macworld, which is run by IDG, WWDC is run by Apple, and there are important meetings between Apple executives and Apple people and not only developers, but customers. So if you are a large customer organization, a pharmaceutical company or a government organization that has hundreds or thousands of Macintoshes, you need to understand about the tools that are available. You may have initiatives that you want to coordinate with Apple on, and it's very useful to bring your executives to WWDC. It's the one chance where you can be right there in the same room with several Apple vice presidents. You can meet important people who are involved in the development of various things like Tony Fadell on the iPod or Bertrand Saleh, who's the father now of Mac OS X. And you can sit down and actually chat with them and talk with them and sometimes get involved in non-disclosure discussions or more open discussions about your support issues. Apple wants to find out from important executives and government officials who they sell equipment to about directions that they need to take and support issues. And so, you know, you see a lot of developers at WWDC, young people, you know, sitting in the hallways, writing code, compiling during sessions and so on. But there's also some very important sessions with your C-level people, your CIO and CEO, who can come to San Francisco, go to dinner with Apple executives, have closed-door meetings, and things like that. So those are some three elements of WWDC that people don't normally think about when they just kind of read about this frenzy of Apple Developer Conference.
And speaking on that, how does now with the new Macintosh, with the Intel chips in them coming out, how does that now really change the landscape as far as developers go?
Well, I think it gives developers a significant opportunity. Any opportunity for Apple, of course, is an opportunity for the developers. I still have many friends at Apple, and they tell me that the Intel Macs are being greatly embraced by government, commercial, scientists because it allows them to get around this issue of having to have a Windows machine on their desk. It allows them to run, for example, Red Hat, Linux, and Mac OS X and Windows XP on the same machine, which has got great developmental advantages. I wrote an article in an earlier Hidden Dimensions about how one developer was simultaneously deploying on Solaris and Mac OS X, but he wanted to be able to run them both on one PowerBook so that he could write his code and then he could test it under Solaris as well as Mac OS X. So that's a great opportunity for developers, the ease of cross-platform certification and so on. Now, there are some concerns about developers tending to gloss over Mac OS X and maybe focus on Windows because Windows now runs on Intel Macs. But from everything I've read and the people I've talked to, that doesn't seem to be a big concern. It doesn't seem to be happening in general. One of the things that Apple's doing to promote that is the parallel system. You know, we want to be running Mac OS X all the time. And we want to treat Windows as something that you have to do every once in a while to get something done, to do Outlook email or Microsoft projecting or some sort of CAD tool that you just have to have Windows for. So in that sense, you know, dual boot isn't desirable because you want to be always running Mac OS X and exercise its advantages. And so I think developers will at WWDC will get a healthy dose of that. You know, Apple has changed its Touche ad on TV. In the bottom left-hand corner, it has this little caveat, you know, you need parallels to run Windows. So with a philosophy of always having Mac OS X running and the tremendous opportunities for developers to both build great Cocoa software and do a few things that, you know, help people who must run Windows, I think the opportunities are just growing and growing.
What are going to be some of the key features now? I know that one of the big things is always the keynote address by Steve Jobs. Any inside track as to what's going to be happening there? Or just tell me a little bit about sort of how that really sets the tone for the Worldwide Developers Conference.
Yeah, I think one of the things that the keynote does is it gets the developers fired up about the Apple vision and the business opportunities. Steve typically will start off the keynote with some numbers, some impressive growth charts showing the success of the company, the profits, the increase in sales of Macintosh units, the sales of iPods, in order to create a sense of business opportunity for the developers. And that's really important. The developers already understand the culture and the atmosphere of Apple. They want to hear Steve talk about opportunities for them. So in that sense, I predict that Steve will do a normal keynote where he'll review, you know, the last year, the successes, the quickness of the transition over to Intel, the growth curve of the iPod. Some people were saying that the iPod has peaked, but we're still on the negative curvature part of a Gaussian curve, as far as I can tell. I don't see it flattening out as it will eventually. And then, of course, there'll be something to replace it. I was amused by hearing Microsoft's comment that they were going to spend 5 years catching up with the iPod, but you know, we all know that the iPod will not look like it looks today in 5 years, so it'll be a constantly moving target. The other thing I think Steve will do is I think he'll stick primarily to development tools and Macintosh professional products of interest to the developers. I don't think you'll see things that are good for Apple but don't necessarily mean a business opportunity for developers. For example, I don't think he'll talk about an iPhone or a video center or something like that. These are commercial consumer things that maybe will be talked about at Macworld Paris later or independently announced. So I wouldn't get too excited about hearing about some of those consumer-ish things.
Any tips for, say, someone who's going, I know that you covered some of this in your Mac Observer article, but for the podcast, any tips for someone who's going, if they're going into the conference, a couple of things that they should keep in mind or something that's going to help them out as they, maybe they're new to San Francisco, maybe they're not to the Bay Area, but a couple little tips for them to surviving the Worldwide Developers Conference.
Yeah, I think one thing I didn't go into too much detail in the article is as soon as you land on Sunday, you want to head straight over to the Moscone Center and get your badge, because you don't want to be worrying about getting your badge on Monday morning while everybody's jockeying to get into position for the keynote. Take plenty of cash. If you're taking a cab from the airport to the downtown hotels, it's enormously expensive. So I recommend having a healthy amount of money to pay for cab fare. The BART can be kind of inconvenient, especially if you're lugging luggage around. Let's see, there's a frequent get-togethers on Sunday evening. If you have Apple friends or account managers, typically the account managers are inviting people to dinner. So, you know, if you're a corporation and you're in the government, by now, you should have, you know, talked to your account manager and arranged to meet them and chat with them, because that's the one evening where you can probably get a hold of them. During the rest of the week, they may be tied up with special internal meetings or meetings with other customers. So Sunday night's a good time to kind of relax and enjoy having arrived in San Francisco and getting together with your colleagues or Apple people that you know. Let's see, what else? You know, there's two phases to being in that line. If you get there really early, you're going to be inside, which means you get to be in an air-conditioned area and sit down. My observations in the past are that when you get there really early, there's a lot of flux. People see each other. They break lines. They chat. They sit around and sort of form, you know, chatting circles and so on. And then that creates a lot of confusion when it comes to keeping the line orderly. There's a big second floor area where they hold you until you get a chance to go up the escalator into the keynote hall, but it's not very well organized. They don't have a lot of stanchions. Sometimes they're creative when it comes to how to line people up. And I've seen them wrap around so that the lines actually touch as they wrap, and then people jump. It's sort of like a quantum leap. You can improve your position in line by just moving a few feet sometimes. So that's why I pointed out in the article, you got to be very careful about how those lines are managed. Those are a couple things that come to mind.
So you've been to 13 developers conferences in a row, but you're not going to go to this one.
No, I'm going to have to miss this year, but I intend to resume next year and continue to be involved and enjoy the experience. It's quite an event. For those people who are going for the first time, it'll be a total immersion. You'll be immersed in technology and great music and camaraderie and bus trip to the Apple campus and getting into the, you know, the Apple company store and actually seeing the Apple buildings and talking with Apple employees at the beer bash. So it's quite a immersive multimedia experience for your brain, and I highly recommend it.
Well, John Modellaro, we hope to see you there next year at the Worldwide Developers Conference, and thanks for being on the podcast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, Michael.
Freelance writer John Modellaro's Hidden Dimensions series can be found at macobserver.com. And don't forget to join us for podcasts of the 2006 Apple Worldwide Developers Conference starting at 10 a.m. Monday morning, August 7th, with special coverage of Steve Jobs' entire keynote address, right here at podtech.net. I'm Michael Johnson.